Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Hey, Patrick's back.
At the right second.
How was your time off?
I am tired.
Yeah. Sometimes time off conspires against being time off, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. A little bit. But no, it was interesting. A lot of things happened. And maybe someday I will regale you with the tales of Patrick's time off from 2020.
Gotcha. So what are you looking forward to now that you're back?
Talking tech with you.
Have you been enjoying the epic Apple fight?
I have been following it. I don't know if it, you know, usually there's a certain joy in some of the tech shenanigans that happen. I would say on this one, it felt a little bit soured by Epic's antics, which didn't work. Like, it's a dangerous...
It didn't work for you, huh?
Yeah, I don't think it worked for many people. It felt, you know, it's not like marketing is ever... what's the opposite of disingenuous? Sincere?
Yeah, that's good.
But in this case, it felt particular... Like, treating a corporate coup... Not coup, but corporate... attack and legal attack as a marketing ploy felt, and I've been rooting for Epics in many aspects of what they've done, but on this one it felt like
so a little crass.
So if they hadn't done the marketing elements like the fake video, fake commercial and stuff, do you think it would have played better for you?
I think so. And the free Fortnite thing directed at kids, you know, it's like co-opting them into their, because like, obviously companies are always motivated by their own interest and gain. And that wasn't different when Tim Sweeney was fighting Steam, you know, and fighting against Microsoft Store when it looked like down the road, it might become the only way of getting programs on Windows. But I still... liked that, you know, I could get behind Tim Sweeney's arguments. I think it's a little bit more difficult to get on board with his, what he's putting forth as the reasons for doing this with everything that's happened.
It leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
A little bit. And I think often in these battles, it's kind of possible to have a favored side, like you, even if you're being objective and trying to say, well, this is what this side says and this is what, you know, the point of that side. In this case, I think there are really no clear, correct ways of looking at it. There are advantages to both things that are being proposed. So it's kind of a little bit less fun as well.
Yeah, there's reasonableness on both sides, right? And there's unreasonable inflexibility.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So yeah.
I feel like, you know, in the first week that this was breaking, like after Epic first filed the lawsuits, people were like, "What side should I be on?" And I'm like, I don't know, be on the side of people who use the software. Like, that's, you know, what is the situation that you would like to have as a user? And the reason that's not a satisfactory answer is because of what you just said. It's like, well, there are some things that Apple does that I would like to change, but there are also some things that Epic's asking for that don't matter to me. So really...
No, I really don't think that's how at least I look at it. The thing is, the way Apple does things has advantages and it has the disadvantages of its advantages. And Sweeney is asking for the removal of the disadvantages, which you can understand, but also that would take away the advantages of, you know, of what Apple is doing, namely a very controlled environment that has good and bad.
Particularly the security, right? Like the Apple can claim that it's got fewer security problems than Android because it is controlling what can be installed on iOS more than Android does.
And the user experience, even if you don't talk about security, mm-hmm. it's very true that in a sense, mm-hmm. I think it was Benedict Evans who was saying, if you look at App Store revenue, you know, Apple doesn't have a monopolistic market share by installed base of, you know, smartphones, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you look at App Store revenue, they have like 80% of the App Store revenue. Mm-hmm. That is hard to not consider, as you know, that there's validity to the idea that developers can't ignore the App Store. It represents the majority
right. And the point is, so never do you have a monopoly. It's, are you abusing your market position? And right. Apple's got a very big market position there. Yeah.
Exactly. So in this, in App Store revenue, they have a huge market position. And so you might argue, well, 30% or less control might make sense. But then Apple might say, and there is some validity to this, the reason we have that huge market share is that we offer a better experience because it's more controlled.
Yeah.
So if you're asking us to have a less controlled user experience, then you're undoing the reason why we're doing better, offering mm-hmm. a better mm-hmm. product. So it's, you know, there's no clear answer. It's difficult. You could also argue, you know, is 30% too much? Is it? I don't know. Maybe it is, but look at how difficult it would be to offer an app and, you know, the CDM, is it CDM? You know, CDN and managing the versioning and like all of that. Apple takes care of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not convinced. You know, it's not like all of a sudden, if Apple wasn't taking 30%, you would have, I don't know, like 2% cost. It would go from 30% to maybe a little bit less, and even that is not certain. So I don't know. It's not
like it's 30% of everything, right? You could put an app on there for free and make nothing. So it's 30% as a way to say, well, if you charge for the app or if you charge for services, we're going to take 30% of that to fund the whole thing, which also has some free stuff on it. And that's where it starts to become like, well, what if you had different ways of doing that? And Apple's like, well, we don't want to have different ways of doing it. We figured this is the best way of doing it. But, it's a matter of taste at that point. And because I could see Epic saying, well, what if you had an approved way of putting independent app stores on iOS that was safe and secure and we paid you for it? And Apple, sure, that would be fair. But Apple's like, yeah, but we don't want to do that.
It's not for you to decide how Apple should conduct its business, mm-hmm. you know, and they've been doing pretty good at the way. But then you look at the market dominance they have in certain areas and you think, well, maybe the same rules should. So anyway, the bottom line is I've been following it, but I don't have an easy side to root for. So it's mm-hmm. a bit annoying. Although I will say the first day was extremely entertaining when Epic went and added that payment method to their game. And you're like, wait, they did what?
They just did it. Yeah, I know. It was bold.
What do they think is going to happen?
Yeah, they knew exactly what was going to happen. Yeah. And now we've seen all those emails. It makes clear that, like, okay, he tried to get, you know, he went through the motions. I think it was more the motions. He was hoping like maybe he could sway them. But he was ready for when it didn't work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Did you eat anything good on your vacation?
Well, I was home most of the time, and there's always good food in Finland in the summer. I had my kid visit a farm or a, you know, vegetable farm, and he went into the greenhouse and ran after the other kids, and they grabbed some cucumbers and some tomatoes, and those were delicious. Mm. That was fun. He even saw a few chicken, and he was like, oh, That's what chicken.
That's. Did you tell him that's where his eggs come from?
I did not, because I'm not cruel.
Well, the eggs.
Why would it be cruel? I mean, they just.
I don't know. I was trying to be more funny than it turned out to be.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
I mean, if we had said, did you tell him where his fried chicken came from? I think that would be.
Actually, that's a difficult thing to approach, because we're like, you know, oh, there's cute animals and then you eat stuff. How far should we go with that explanation?
Yeah, so. I mean, that my sister visiting her friend's farm when she was, you know, a kid turned her into a vegetarian for a while.
Yeah, it's not it's not
the for the squeamish.
But talking about my kid, now I'm in the situation where I'm back in Finland. I was in France for just a few days. We're back in Finland, but we have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And so we rented a place in Helsinki.
Because we went to France, okay.
Because we went to France, and I don't want to go back home, because then the kid would have to quarantine as well, and that's not something we want. We want him to be at daycare in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so I'm far away from him for a very long time.
Oh,
I mean,
that's sad. Three. I'm sorry to hear that.
And he was all sad this morning. So his mom made a calendar to show like days he can cross off when he wakes up, and then after a certain number of days, daddy's coming back. And we talked on the phone earlier, and he was like, "Hey, come and see dad." And he showed me the calendar, and he was like, "Look at the day. That's in green, that's when you come home." And I melted.
That's great. How was flying?
It was a bit weird.
Yeah.
It was on, everyone was wearing masks. People were really good about that. I guess they couldn't be on the flight if they didn't. Although there was one French guy who was wearing his thing under the nose. And you're like, dude, what the? Yeah. It's so, you know that meme, the underpants with penis hanging out, equivalent to the nose under the mask under. I kept having that image in my head. It was very but apart from that, it was fine. A lot more controls, passport controls on the way back, though. Obviously, Finland does not want. People bringing in COVID in the country, because we've been fairly, you know, we haven't had a lot of it in Finland.
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad, it sounds like. Yeah. So, did you have to get tested or just temp checked? Or?
Not tested, but I had to show why I was coming to Finland, proving I had an address here and all of that. Yeah.
So they're mostly saying quarantine and... Then,
yeah, it's they initially wanted to order people to quarantine and have like it be very strict, but that required some legal stuff that they're working through. So for now, it's like, oh, please stay home and don't be an idiot.
Applause to you for going the extra mile and not being an idiot. Well done.
It's mostly because I don't want to bring COVID back to my small community. Everyone will know it was me. No, it's also because I'm trying not to be an idiot.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You don't.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
I'm good. We launched into the conversation. I didn't even have time to say hello to everyone and Roger and everyone.
That's all right.
Hello.
That's all right. We got a whole show to talk to each other.
Oh, speaking of shows.
Oh. I know. How about that?
Shall we do one?
Yes.
All right.
I propose we do not. What do you think?
Yeah, let's just all go to the beach.
The motion on the floor from Patrick is not to do Daily Tech News Show. All in favor, say aye. It doesn't look like it's going to pass, Patrick. Sorry.
We're already here. Let's do the show. All right.
Here we go. In 3, 2. Coming up on DTNS, monitor patients in the dark with radio waves, a battery that can last 28,000 years on a charge, and the real reasons why a judge ruled in favor of Epic and Apple. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, August 25th, 2020 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood Adjacent, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from the white-walled room of my temporary dwelling in Helsinki, I'm Patrick Beja.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
Hey, Patrick, it's good to have you back. We were just talking to Patrick about his vacation. We were talking about his thoughts on Epic and Apple. You got to get Good Day Internet if you want to hear that. Go become a member at patreon.com/DTNS. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Apple confirmed a report from Protocol that it acquired Spaces, a location-based VR startup that started as a DreamWorks animation project and then pivoted to video conferencing earlier this year. In fact, last week, Spaces announced that it was shutting down its existing services and heading in a new direction after being forced to shut down VR centers at the beginning of the pandemic.
Mozilla launched Firefox 79, also known as Firefox Daylight for Android Tuesday. Firefox Daylight has enhanced tracking protection on by default so that ad trackers are auto-blocked in the standard mode. Daylight also includes a new user interface and Mozilla's mobile browser engine, Gecko View. How do you say it? Let us know. DailyTechNewsShow@gmail.com. That's not the email. Sorry. Feedback@DailyTechNewsShow.com. Is that it? No.
That's it.
Okay.
Yes.
Firefox holds less than 1% of the mobile market share, according to Net Applications.
Welcome back, Patrick. Amazon is rolling out a new augmented reality shopping tool, Room Decorator, so you try out how furniture and other decor might look in your own virtual space of your own space. Room Decorator is different than AR View. Amazon launched that for iOS back in 2017. This new one allows multiple products in a room together, not just a single item, and works with furniture products from not just Amazon, but third-party sellers too.
Samsung's Find My Mobile app is now rolling out an update for offline devices. So offline finding, that's a new feature, will let you find your phone using someone else's Galaxy device or let other users use your phone to scan for their lost Galaxy devices or watches or earbuds that might be nearby. The update appears to be only available in the U.S. and South Korea for now, available on the Samsung Galaxy Store or APK Mirror.
Sounds familiar. Facebook announced it's changing the name of its AR and VR division that encompasses Oculus, Spark, and Portal brands to Facebook Reality Labs. The company's AR/VR research division renamed itself from Oculus Research to Facebook Reality Labs back in 2018. The division will now be known as FRL Research. Facebook's annual VR developer conference, Oculus Connect, will also be renamed Facebook Connect and kicks off virtually on September 16.
Well, I think that Oculus name's on its way out. Amazon has opened its largest office building in the world in Hyderabad, India. Hyderabad is already a technology base in India for Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and Apple. Amazon's 1.8 million square foot office is Amazon's first fully owned office outside the United States, although the company does manage 40 other offices, 67 shipping centers, 1,400 delivery stations, and of course a workforce of more than 60,000, plus 155,000 contractors in India.
Wow. Gartner reports that worldwide smartphone sales dropped 20.4% for the second quarter, due mostly to continued disruptions from COVID-19. Samsung was hit the hardest, dropping 27.1% year over year. Huawei sales declined 6.8% overall, but the company still saw an increase in the overall market share for the quarter, plus a rise in sales of 27.4% between Q1 and Q2. Apple dipped 0.4%. China's overall market dropped 7% for the quarter, but India was down 46%.
That is a drop. Along with a lawsuit that TikTok filed challenging the U.S. executive order banning transactions with the company, TikTok also released monthly active user details for the first time. And as you can imagine, they're pretty good. In the U.S., monthly active users are up 800% 2018 from 11 million to more than 100 million today. That's in the U.S. alone, with more than 50 million daily active users. Globally, TikTok says it now has 2 billion global downloads and reported close to 700 million monthly active users in July.
All right, let's talk about Facebook. There's the thinking out there that maybe Facebook is kind of behind the scenes pushing for TikTok to get banned in the U.S., but maybe not. Following a legal request from Thailand's Ministry of Digital Economy and Society, Facebook has blocked access to a group of 1 million members in Thailand. That group criticized the King of Thailand, and Thailand has strict laws against criticizing the monarchy. There are currently protests against the military-led government in Thailand and calls for reform of the monarchy. So this was part of that just kind of bleeding over onto Facebook. Facebook had resisted blocking that group. It was given 15 days on August 10th to block it or face charges and fines under the Computer Crime Act in Thailand. So Facebook took it to the last day before they did the blocking. Facebook says it plans to challenge the government's order. A spokesperson said, quote, "Requests like this are severe, contravene international human rights law, and have a chilling effect on people's ability to express themselves." Now, The Verge's Casey Newton notes that this is an example of why Facebook might not be happy about a U.S. ban on TikTok, because it emboldens governments to threaten bans against social networks elsewhere in the world for any purpose. They can say, look, the U.S. is banning TikTok. We're going to ban you if you don't do this as well. Newton writes, quote, "Enforcement like this is now the price of admission for companies on a rapidly splintering internet. If there's one obvious lesson to be learned from TikTok's fate in America, it's that Facebook and its peers have to manage their relationship with regulators too."
I'm certain that's the case. I can still see Facebook trying to say, look at this TikTok, it's not, you know, it might pose a problem. I don't think anyone would have expected an outright full ban. But certainly that logic makes a lot of sense. Casey Newton has a very good point. It's definitely not in the interest of Facebook of making banning of social networks by governments a habitual thing. So that's something to think about for
sure.
Yeah,
and Newton, he speculates that maybe Facebook was out there saying, look, you don't want to clamp down too much on antitrust with us, because look at TikTok, you know, and it's Chinese. Right. And not saying it should be banned, but sort of casting shade on them for its own purposes. And it worked a little too well.
Exactly. And, yeah. Yeah. I think so. It's certainly, you know, the other side of this is Facebook trying to resist as much as possible. In this case, you know, there might be other cases where it's different, trying to resist a lawful order. But we fall back again on that issue of they can't resist a lawful order when it's lawful in that country.
Without facing the penalty, yeah, absolutely.
Of course. And maybe they could, you know, take that stand and decide that they're going to face the penalty there. But then you get into the argument, well, you resist it here, why don't you resist it there? And you fall into that very difficult pit of you decide what law you're going to obey, which is, you know, not the place I think Facebook wants to be in. All right. Sources from both Bloomberg and Taiwan's Economic Daily News say Nintendo is working on a new Switch console for release in 2021 that would likely include a more powerful chip and 4K graphics. A stronger lineup of game releases would accompany the refreshed hardware, including previously announced Metroid Prime 4 and the sequel to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Currently, Switch hardware is based around NVIDIA's Tegra X1 system on a chip, which was first announced more than 5 years ago, so ripe for an upgrade.
I don't know. What do you think, Patrick? It would be the opposite of the Switch Lite. With the Switch Lite, they put out a less powerful version or a less feature-filled version of the Switch in order to get more people on board. This would be upgrading the hardware to be a little more powerful, maybe play a few more games that they wouldn't want it to not be able to play on the other versions of the Switch.
No, I think that's a difficult question. The Switch Lite is, for those who don't know, the Switch can be connected to your TV or taken on the go. It has a screen integrated. I think most people know that. The Switch Lite cannot be plugged onto the TV. So it's not really less powerful. It is, but the main feature is that it doesn't play on the TV.
And you can't separate the controller. So yeah.
Right, yeah. But this would be an entirely new class of hardware because it would be capable of doing games that could potentially not run on the previous version. I don't think that's the route they would go, but certainly if only for the 4K graphics in a time when people are getting more and more 4K TVs, it could make sense that they could render the same thing in 4K. Even just that could be interesting. If they have more graphical power, maybe can have a more stable frame rate, even without going into big graphical upgrades that wouldn't benefit or be possible on the previous version. And then the games, the Nintendo Switch has been selling very, very well. And Nintendo has a history of getting their core fans to upgrade to a new version of the same hardware or upgraded version of the same hardware. So already, if you give them a 4K version, they're going to think, oh, maybe I should get it. And if you give them a lot of games, you get out of the way of 2020 for the new generation of PlayStation and Xboxes, and then you bring out the new version of the console and, three of those calibers of games, you have sold millions and millions of consoles. So as a strategy, it makes a lot of sense, no matter how powerful the system is.
Yeah, if Nintendo's sales are going to slow down after the big pandemic boom driven by Animal Crossing, one way to get more people interested is to refresh the hardware. So yeah, it makes sense.
Well, speaking of hardware, Fitbit introduced its follow-up to the Fitbit Ionic called the Fitbit Sense, an advanced health smartwatch, as the company calls it, that includes an electrodermal activity, or EDA, sensor and electrocardiogram, or ECG, measurements, plus Google Assistant support. The EDA sensor looks for electrical changes in your skin that might indicate things like stress. Are you really stressed out? Might be able to tell you that. You might know that already, but it might be something that you'd like to keep reports of. You place your palm over the sense's display. You breathe while it takes a measurement, and then the sense will also alert you to changes in your body temperature or high or low heart rates that might indicate spikes of some kind. Fitbit also updated its Versa smartwatch and Inspire fitness tracker lines. All of this works better if you pay for Fitbit Premium to keep track of all your data. So you get some data, and if you want to upgrade a Fitbit Premium, then it's all in one place. Pre-orders are now open for the Fitbit Sense. That goes for $330 US. The Fitbit Versa 3 for $230, and the Fitbit Inspire 2 for $100, all shipping in late September.
Well,
Somebody who I've got a Fitbit Versa 2. Exactly. I'm not wearing it right now because I left my charger at home, and I've been, I haven't been home for a week now, but anyway, in a perfect world, I actually do pay for Fitbit's premium service, because if you really want to get all in on any ecosystem, and I'm not saying it's only Fitbit because there are others, it's a data nerd's dream. And something that could give me that much more data beyond how many steps I took, what my heart rate is and how many stairs I climbed, or the equivalent of that, hiking around during the day, that sort of thing. Stress stuff, especially along with the new kind of trend of smartwatches giving you a lot more sleep data. And whether or not they're completely accurate I think it's somewhat hit or miss, at least in my experience at this point. But it definitely gives you a better snapshot of, do I feel well? Do I not feel well? Maybe some of these parameters are why. And this is stuff that a lot of people just weren't able to track day to day beforehand. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. The electrocardiogram is a little bit of catch up for Fitbit here, because other watches have that.
Right.
But the electrodermal activity is interesting. I think that's a cool feature to try out. Who knows? Maybe it won't be that useful, but it's interesting. Scientists at MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab, or CSAIL, have developed a system to analyze wireless radio signals to detect a person's movement called RF Diary. A deep learning algorithm is trained to recognize activities like sleeping, reading, cooking, and watching TV based on how the propagation of radio waves in the room change, how they bounce off of stuff. It can also recognize some objects like laptops. The system is given a floor map of the space that it's going to monitor, so it takes a little bit of setup. It then looks at a small amount of video of the person and pairs that with existing data sets. So the person has to move around, and then it goes, okay, I think the person's doing that. I've got a data set that makes me think this. That's how you train the algorithm for that individual. So it's not a plug-and-play thing. It takes a little training. RF Diary will then, once it's trained, generate text descriptions of activities and interactions with objects. So you're not recording video of someone. You're not spying on their every move. You're just writing down, like, oh, they're watching TV, they're going to the kitchen and cooking something. It can classify more than 30 activities accurately more than 90% of the time and perform as well or better than video systems. So it's a good replacement for them. Plus, it works in the dark. You don't have to have a light on or use infrared or something like that. The team has tested the system in hospitals and assisted living facilities. This is not for spying on you at your home. It's for monitoring people with Parkinson's, dementia, and COVID-19.
You know, you say it's not for spying on me at my home,
but that was my first thought.
that's not what they want
it to be used for. Correct.
Of course. But of course, you know, you think there are going to be like intelligence and military uses for these kinds of things. Certainly, and that's where my mind went immediately. It's pretty cool tech. I also thought, how is ad tech going to find a way to use this? Obviously, because that's... But, you know, the actual real world use for it is definitely very interesting, especially assisted living facilities. Or if it works, if it's, you know, miniaturized enough, maybe you can have that as a security system for a parent or someone that's a little bit older that doesn't necessarily need to be in an assisted living facility, but that you can keep an eye on without having a camera in their home. There are definitely very cool users for all of this.
Yeah, less invasive than video.
Yeah.
I would like to know if while watching TV, it can tell that I've also fallen asleep. Because that happens often.
Yeah, it might be able to do that. That's a good question.
California battery developer NDB, this is cool as well, claims that its nano diamond batteries can last 28,000 years on a single charge. You just have to be comfortable with the fact that they're made from repurposed nuclear waste.
Oh.
Not everybody will. NDB purifies radioactive graphite to create radioactive carbon-14 diamonds. It then coats those with a layer of carbon-12 diamonds to contain the radioactive material. The structures are then layered themselves to create electric cells in any size, including AA, AAA, and so on. The levels of radiation are lower than the average human body gives off, so they're low. NDB just passed two proof-of-concept tests that saw the batteries manage a 40% charge. It also signed up its first two beta test clients. One is a leader in nuclear fuel cell products and services, and the other is a leading global aerospace defense and security manufacturing company.
Hmm. Yeah. So this, you put this on the list of, hey, if they can ever make it commercially viable, this could be great. Whether you'll see people picking up a AA battery at the convenience store that's, you know, made from radioactive waste, that's going to take a feat of marketing, I think.
So is it less radioactive than the human body when it's all coated,
yes,
and then if you step on it, all of a sudden it becomes a nuclear power plant under your shoe?
Presumably it's because it's coated with diamonds.
Maybe don't do a tap dance on the batteries.
Strip off the protective layer. But
I mean,
I also
Go ahead, Patrick. The initial idea is definitely, oh, radioactive material, I don't want that. But 28,000 years on one charge, essentially, it's the battery that you literally never have to replace. Maybe you make it less radioactive material and it only lasts for, you know, 20 years. That would still be pretty good.
Right.
The advantages energy-wise and ecologically are so huge that you may have to consider this, at least for some uses. And I think that is probably what they're going for. It's not going to be, you know, the phone in your, the battery in your phone. But for some specific uses, it might be really make a lot of sense to consider this if it works as they are claiming it could.
And don't forget, it repurposes nuclear waste that would otherwise be sitting in a disposal facility somewhere.
I mean, people are probably going to be more comfortable with the disposal facility than, you know, in their, you know, radio.
I mean, well, that was my first question was I was like, okay, 28,000 years, that's, you know, silly. I mean, in 100 years, that if that actually comes to fruition, I won't be around anyway. But would there be a device that could take advantage of at least a fraction of those thousands of years that wouldn't need to be upgraded anyway, where the battery would have to be, you know, sort of taken out and swapped in and that sort of thing?
Yeah. Cars,
okay, sure.
Or if you could, but you could build it into a large enough battery to supply a home in an emergency, it would be great, because then you could still run everything and not have to worry about having power from a grid.
Totally. Well, I don't know. I think, you know, when you think of, we're talking, you know, the quintuple digits of years, you know, I'm like, yeah, what kind of cars would anybody even be driving?
Like 5,000 years, right? Because if this were to get to commercial viability, which it's not there yet, it's not clear that they can make this work commercially. They're only getting 40% at this point. But let's say they got it there and they got past the marketing resistance to the idea of this being made from nuclear waste, which, again, I have to stress, would be a great thing for taking nuclear waste and making sure that it wasn't polluting our environment. If we get past all that, then it doesn't matter how long it lasts. It just means you never have to replace a battery again.
Right. And even if it's at 40%, does it mean it only lasts for, you know, 11,000 years at 40%? It lasts a little bit less. Maybe that's already enough. I don't know. It's lots of questions.
Yeah, yeah. Like with battery tech, you know, don't expect this to be on your shelf anytime soon, but it's got a lot of promise. If you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. All right, folks, we've got a decision, but it's not the decision in Epic versus Apple. Settle back. I'm going to try to explain this as best as I can to avoid you falling victim to the misleading headlines that may be out there. U.S. District Court Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers ruled Monday that Apple does not have to reverse its decision to remove Fortnite from its App Store. They can keep Fortnite out of the App Store, but must hold off terminating Epic's developer accounts, which are used to support Unreal Engine. Devil's in the details. This is a ruling on a request by Epic for a temporary restraining order. It's not a preliminary injunction. You'll see lots of stories refer to that, and it's roughly the same, but it's not a preliminary injunction. We still have that yet to come, and it's not the court case itself. This is not the final word. But as Judge Gonzalez-Rogers says herself in the decision, a temporary restraining order is, quote, not a preliminary adjudication on the merits, but rather a device for preserving the status quo and preventing the irreparable loss of rights before judgment. It's basically saying, what conditions should we let sit while the court determines who's right? There are four factors under which a temporary restraining order can be issued. The first is likelihood of success on the merits. And the judge found that Epic certainly raises serious questions, but it's not clear that it would prevail. So that one didn't play into this. Irreparable harm. This is the question of status quo. If normal conditions aren't maintained, would one of the parties suffer irreparable harm that would be unfair if they won the case? Judge Gonzalez-Rogers noted that, quote, self-inflicted wounds are not irreparable injury, and therefore, regarding Fortnite, she said, the current predicament appears of its own making. Judge Gonzalez-Rogers also said Epic, quote, strategically chose to breach its agreements with Apple. So that's one of the reasons that she's like, you can keep Fortnite blocked because Epic can change this anytime it wants. Now, regarding Apple terminating Epic's developer account, which they said they were going to do on August 28th, the judge wrote, Epic International appears to have separate developer program license agreements with Apple, and those agreements have not been breached. She's like, there's multiple agreements here. And You're saying they broke their developer agreement, but they didn't break that one. Continuing with what she wrote, moreover, Apple is hard-pressed to dispute that even if Epic Games succeeded on the merits, it could be too late to save all the projects by third-party developers relying on the engine that were shelved while support was unavailable. So she's saying harm could come to Epic during the court case that would be irreparable. And even if they won the case, they could suffer harm, and that's not fair. So that's why she's saying you can't get rid of the developer account. For one, they have an agreement that doesn't seem to have been violated because there are multiple agreements, and they would suffer irreparable harm. There's a couple other notes here, one called balance of equities. That's the third of the four things you have to look at it in a temporary restraining order. This is, would a decision leave one side in an inequitable situation? Well, no, they're both huge companies. They're going to be fine. Apple won't be harmed by letting Unreal Engine continue. And regarding Fortnite, Apple would be just as harmed by letting Fortnite in with 0% revenue share as Epic will be by keeping it out. And Gonzalez-Rogers wrote, while the court anticipates experts will opine that Apple's 30% take is anti-competitive, the court doubts that an expert would suggest a 0% alternative. Not even Epic Games gives away its products for free entirely. All right. The fourth thing they look at is public interest, and this played into the decision as well. In this case, this means would it unduly hurt Fortnite players or Unreal Engine developers that aren't part of the case? The judge actually acknowledged that Fortnite is really important right now. She wrote, the court further recognizes that during these coronavirus pandemic times, virtual escapes may assist in connecting people and providing a space that is otherwise unavailable. But she didn't find that that interest outweighed the other public interest of, quote, requiring private parties to adhere to contractual agreements. She's like, sorry, that's not an excuse. On the other hand, stopping developer access for the development of Unreal Engine would definitely harm third parties. She wrote, the record shows potential significant damage to both the Unreal Engine platform itself and to the gaming industry generally, including on both third-party developers and games. Epic Games and Apple are at liberty to litigate against each other, but their dispute should not create havoc to bystanders. And the judge notes her previous determination that it isn't obvious that Epic violated terms regarding Unreal Engine with Epic International. She's like, there's another agreement here that they didn't even violate. So in summary, because Epic could easily fix the Fortnite situation and there isn't enough harm to Epic or players by keeping it out, the Fortnite ban is allowed to stand. But because there are separate agreements regarding Unreal Engine, and it would definitely harm third-party developers, Apple may not suspend Epic's whole developer account affecting Unreal Engine. Now, like I said, this is not the end. There will now be a full hearing on the preliminary injunction on September 28th. It's essentially a less urgent version of the same thing again. The temporary restraining order only lasts to get them to that preliminary injunction where they will determine what the status quo should be during the case. So they're going to go over all this again. The actual court case over this won't be scheduled until after that preliminary injunction is decided. And that's unlikely to happen this year, hence the importance placed on these injunctions, because they're deciding what the status quo will be for the next year or more.
You know, I think it was, I don't know if you read the unofficial minutes of the hearing by, I think it was Sarah Jung. Really fascinating stuff. And Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers got everything right, in my opinion. She understood the intricacies of everything, including the video games aspect. She was like, as a tech connoisseur, I thought she was an expert in everything she said, understood, and decided. It was impressive.
Yeah, no, it seems like she, I mean, this is what I said probably would happen yesterday. And so, yeah, it did. We didn't get any shockers here.
Listen, she agrees with Tom, so obviously she's doing something so right.
She's very smart.
Whether you agree with Tom or not, you can participate in our subreddit by submitting stories and voting on others at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com.
Who agrees with me in the mailbag?
Oh, it's Dan. Dan lives in Bristol and says it's wet and windy. No, it's sunny. No, it's rainy. What the hell is going on? Dan, I hear that. He emailed us about yesterday's discussion that we had about Slack and email and civility and how workplaces are dealing with that. Dan has a top tip for those of you using Outlook. Dan says, I have a rule set up on my Outlook account that I call did you really want to say that? It states, after I send this message, defer delivery by 2 minutes unless flagged as high priority. This then gives me the opportunity to briefly reflect about ranting in an email or to spot an annoying typo or both. Then I have 2 minutes to dive into the outbox, retrieve my message, and amend it. I've lost count of the number of times this has saved me from sending something I might have been thinking, but shouldn't have committed to something that can't be audited. We also use Teams for real-time chat, but my colleagues and I have a private WhatsApp group running in parallel so we can say what we're really thinking during meetings.
Yeah, that, the fact that your email might be audited by your company is a big motivation to be like, let me make sure I want that in the record. That's a cool tip. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to patrons at our master and grandmaster levels, including Reed Fischler, Mark Gibson, and Philip Less. Also, thanks to Patrick Beja making his triumphant return. Patrick, we missed you very much. We know you had a lovely time off, but we're glad to have you back and let folks know where they can keep up with what you're doing now.
Listen, it's very easy. You know I'm called Patrick. You know that my social media handles are usually not Patrick. Just go to notpatrick.com and everything is there, including the Phileas Club, where you will find in that little box links to your podcasting app directly.
It's beautiful. Notpatrick.com. Notpatrick.com. It looks really good, man.
Thank you. Go check it out.
You can, of course, support our show at any level, dailytechnewsshow.com/Patreon. We have all kinds of cool perks there. Shannon Morse just put out a new Threatwire update on the Weather Channel privacy issues. We have an editor's desk from me, a column from Roger, Live With It from Sarah. That's all at the Patreon, dailytechnewsshow.com/Patreon.
If you've got burning questions or something to get off your chest, email address would be a great way to send it to us. Feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. If you can join us live, we'd love to have you. Monday through Friday is when we're live, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Scott Johnson tomorrow. Talk to you then.
Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hooray! Good job.
Excellent.
Whee.
Well, Patrick, it was lovely. Thank you so much.
It was great being here. And I will talk to all of you next week when I wake up.
Will you still be in your quarantine location next week?
Yes. Yeah. It's okay. It's 2 weeks. Gotcha. It's 14 days.
All right. Well, see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
All right. Time for us to pick a title. DTNS.showbot.tv, where the titles suggested in our Discord and Twitch chat show up. We have A Data Nerd's Dream. FRL Labs is for real. Facebook petitions the Thailand King's Court. I mean, sort of. They're really petitioning the military government. Let Fitbit watch your skin. Batteries have gone nuclear. That's pretty good.
Mm.
An epic battle with an unreal win. I like the unreal win.
Temp win.
Yeah, temp win for now. Fortnite fail. Fortnite fall. Sorry, not fail. TikTok rocks. ROKS. 100 million TikToking teens. Dear RF Diary, because it is the name of the thing, keep track of you. What do you got, Roger?
Oh no, I was just saying epic battle with Unreal Wind is just kind of what I'm leaning towards.
I like Unreal Wind, and we've said epic battle so many times.
I know. Fortnite, it didn't really fall.
An unreal win for now.
All right, we'll do that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Put it in and I cup.
Unreal win for now. So partial credit goes to Beatmaster for suggesting the unreal win. Beatmaster 80, thank you. GDI.showbot.tv, we have titles for Good Day Internet, like That's Where Fried Chicken Comes From. Finish Your Food, F-I-N-N.
I like that one.
Yeah,
that's funny.
All in favor say aye. That's Where Your Eggs Come From. Another spin. Should we just do Finish Your Food?
Yeah.
Finish Your Food.
It's Patrick, you know, Clay. An ode to Patrick.
Yeah. E. Clay Thomason, thank you for that.
Thanks to everybody for your submissions.
Thank you. My. What times we live in.
I get to go home today.
You do? Oh, that's good.
My mandatory evac got lifted right before the show.
Oh, that's great.
And there was some, you know, my mom was like, it got lifted. And I'm looking at something from the sheriff that's different than hers. I'm like, no, it didn't. I can't do this right now.
Don't give me false hope.
yeah, you know, like I just don't even, I can't talk to anybody about anything except this for a while. But yeah, it, I mean, we'll see, but it is the best news I've heard.
Oh, no kidding. It's been a week, right? That's crazy.
I want to go home.
Yeah. I don't blame you. You want to go now. That's fine. Roger and I can
It's fine. I can't just walk out the door. I got to pack up my animals and take a minute. It doesn't need to happen right this second.
I'm just pack for himself yet. What's up with that?
I'd love that. That would be really nice. This morning, it's funny because we've got, it's a whole thing, but my mom has two cats and then I have a cat and a dog. And for the most part, everybody gets along okay, but it's like, it's her house and her cats. And, you know, we have to kind of, you know, sequester sometimes. Yeah. And, everyone gets tired of each other. but this morning, because my mom often gets up, she gets really early before even me. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I can see a light, like outside of the guest bedroom, I'll let Otis out, you know, because he's kind of getting restless and he can hear activity. And I'm just like,
come on.
Yeah. And just, you know, I'm just going to lay here for a little while and, you know, just go bother somebody else. And so this morning it was, 6:30 or whatever. And I was like, she's obviously up. And I let him out, but she wasn't. I mean, she was up, but she was like in her bedroom with her door closed. Uh-huh. And so she kind of wanders out all blurry eyed eventually. And she's like, what is Otis doing out in the living room? Just like by himself being like, where is everybody? You know, like I had locked him out of his safe spot with me. And he just sort of like sat there like all dejected, like, oh no, they've all left. Everyone left me. Anyway, these are weird times, as you said.
Yeah. You know, Django my old dog Django she just would want to be out in the living room, you know, in her later years. Didn't matter if we were in there or not. She wanted to sleep out there.
She just liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really could be worse. That especially with cats, like cats don't just like, you don't just like throw a bunch of cats in a room and be like, everyone's fine.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. It does not work that way. But we have had very minimal strife. It could have been worse. And Otis, luckily, is a cat lover. Mm-hmm. So my mom's cats kind of were just like, please leave as soon as possible. But they're not like freaking out. Yeah. And he doesn't chase them or anything. Mm-hmm. He just sort of sits there being like, please be my friend. Mm-hmm.
Very tiny, weird smelling dog. Will you be my friend?
Yeah. Well, and also my mom's cats, they're from the same litter and they've kind of got those like, almost like dairy cow, you know, it's like black and white, sort of splotchy. They look very similar. And one likes him more than the other one does. He doesn't know the difference. So sometimes he'll like come running up to me and be like, she was mean to me. She was nice to me 2 seconds ago. Like, different cat.
Like, wouldn't the smell be different or no?
Maybe they smell the same.
Well, he's not really getting close enough to them. Like, they're not.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. He sees him from like.
He's getting different vibes. And you can tell that he's like, I've done nothing differently.
Yeah.
I wonder why being so weird.
I wonder. So if you had a twin. Like an identical twin, and like she took Otis like out for a walk, but did like a bunch of other things that were really different. Would he get all like weirded out?
He might. Because he'd be like, why are you mad at me?
Especially if you smell similar, right? Like the cats might even, they might not just look alike. They might also smell the same.
I'm sure they, I mean, they, you know? They're kind of, you know, they're sort of tabby and pot. Yeah.
No, that makes me wonder, do twins smell alike?
We should get all the identical twins and then do a sniff test.
Well, I think it's a little nature nurture, right? Because it's like same DNA, but different food you're eating. That always, that can
use different hygiene products, like different shampoos, soap, stuff.
Your biome, your gut biome might be similar because you grew up in the same. It depends. Like if you didn't grow up with your twin, then you might smell different. But if you grew up in the same area, maybe you do.
Well, also like, I mean, even the same person, if I were to eat spinach from port, it's going to smell different.
Right.
So that counts.
Dogs are so good with smelling, though. They might be able to tell the difference between your underlying normal aroma.
Right.
And like, oh, they also had garlic, you know.
He's afraid. Right. They can also
Sarah didn't brush her teeth today, but I know who she is.
But I still recognize her.
Right. I know who you are.
You can't. Yeah.
Unless
can't
you're
hide.
A crazy twin.
You can't hide behind your mouthwash. I know that's you.
Oh, I guess they can't. So dogs can't smell fear, but they can detect smells and see movements and body postures that may help them sense when a person is nervous, anxious, or afraid.
Yeah, they can't literally smell fear, but like any, like we can tell if somebody looks like they're
afraid.
What
is the smell of fear?
Well, supposedly when you're stressed, your sweat is slightly different, I guess.
Yeah, well, you sweat more.
Sure, but can any animal smell fear? Yeah. I mean, it's more just other factors.
That's one of those. That's one of those dramatic tropes. I smell your fear.
By the way, Zappos CEO Tony Hsieh stepping down after 21 years.
Has it been that long?
I know.
Yeah. Moving from platforms into flats.
And Zappos still owned by Amazon. Tony Hsieh still the CEO. They're in Vegas. Like, I really thought Zappos was going to be one of those companies that would become like an Amazon, but then Amazon bought him. And then he stayed. I thought, oh, well, he'll leave and do something else. But he stayed. So crazy.
Zappos, I actually bought a pair of running shoes not that long ago on Zappos that were like heavily discounted. I mean, they weren't like the new hot Jordans or anything, but I just for kicks, I looked them up on Amazon. See what I did there? Mm-hmm. I looked them up on Amazon and it was like, they were not discounted on Amazon. And so I was like, well, it's sort of a strange, whatever subsidiary situation going on. So, you know, Zappos got my money, but Amazon did in the end also.
So now the big question is, of course, Zappos famous for its company culture, right? Even while being owned by Amazon, if Tony Hsieh is not around to manage that company culture, will it stick? Because they have incredible customer service and have for 21 years now.
Yeah. And it's been a while since I've like hung out with him, but I mean, he really set the tone for what has remained, by and large, a really great place to work and has influenced other companies. Maybe not as many as it
and
should
the
have,
chief
but.
Operating officer Kedar Deshpande is taking over as CEO. And says, "We are focused on wowing customers and the 10 core values that drive us every day."
Well, if you get my running shoes, I will continue to be a customer.
Remember the big deal about you would interview with Zappos and then they would offer you money not to take the job? That was, I don't know if they still do that, but for a while that was their.
And the reasoning was what?
Well, it wasn't.
Couldn't they just not give you the job?
First of all, they had to call you in for an interview. You couldn't just show up and like, I want to interview for a job so you'll pay me. But if they called you in for an interview and they interviewed you, they would offer you money not to take the job because they like, we want you to want to work here so much that you would forego temporary gain to do it. Like it was kind of a psychological thing.
Oh, I see.
Like, do you want $2,000 now and not get this job? Or are you so excited for this job that you'll take, that you won't, you know, you'll forego one marshmallow now for two marshmallows later?
For the long haul?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a clever way to weed out people, I guess.
I wonder what he's going to do.
Yeah. after all of that time, I mean, one would think you've done well.
Maybe
there may have been a payout situation with the timing, you know, of this, but
might have a hobby that these always wanted to pursue, you know, full gusto.
Watercolor.
I feel like that's
maybe,
but I feel
clay.
Like that's what you say about somebody who was in a job that couldn't really leave. Like Tony Hsieh could have left this job at any time. He would have been fine. I feel like this was his hobby.
Right. Like, well, Amazon isn't going to acquire Zappos and be like, and you're also required to work here for 20 years.
Yeah. What if he just starts his
like,
own
he did it because he wanted to.
Company where he just, you know.
But he could have done that 20 years ago, Roger. Like, why stay at Zappos for 20 years? And then, like, what now? What changed?
Maybe something personal?
Maybe
he had an epiphany. One night he was just eating a bowl of cereal when he got home from work. And he said, man, what am I doing? 21 years. Running shoes.
The whole downtown Vegas project, too. I know that when Zappos moved in and some other, you know, kind of startup companies did as well, it sort of, I don't want to say it fizzled out because I'm not local enough to really know what it's, you know. And I know that area has changed from what it was like, you know, a couple decades ago. But I got the sense that, you know, a lot of people were unimpressed with how things didn't change as much as, you know, they were
really
expecting it to.
Promise. Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like he must have finally got bored with Zappos.
He found something new that was so irresistible that he's just like, man, I got to do this.
Yeah, it's one or the other, or maybe both, right? Where he came up with a new opportunity. I wonder what that would be.
We're going to Mars. I don't know. So.
Yeah, he's going to Mars.
Biocast says, maybe the just having place. To stay home because of the pandemic made him realize what he was missing going to work. It's like, huh, I like my house. They're a really good house.
Maybe we're sitting at home. He's just looking down at his feet. Said shoes.
But no, he wore, already did shoes. Why would that?
No, but that maybe, no, I'm saying that you just kind of looked at it and it's like, this is 21 years of my life on my feet.
I don't know, man. I feel like he would have cashed out in 2009 when Amazon bought him.
Maybe he's a complicated person. There's a confluence of things that happened. Personally,
Tony Hsieh is listening to us right now, being like, "You guys are getting it wrong, all of
you." Know what? Yes. He should write us at feedback.
Maybe he's
at
a complicated person.
Maybe you just stick your nose out of it, Tom and Roger. That's what Tony Hsieh is thinking right now.
Maybe he's going into real estate and he's just selling shoe-shaped homes, like shoebox homes.
Yep,
that's clearly the most logical conclusion.
Old lady who lived in a shoe, well, right?
It's about as logical as everything else I've come.
I met him when he did a scam school shoot at South by Southwest one year. He seemed like a really nice person.
Totally. Yeah really nice person. This is now that I'm thinking of people living in shoes. I don't know how much you two watched Sesame Street back in the day, but I watched a lot of it.
Me too.
And Kermit the Frog being like the reporter. Was one of my favorite skits.
Sure.
And there is a skit on Sesame Street. I've seen it 100 million times because they would just show Sesame Street reruns over and over on PBS, where he interviews the old woman who lives in a shoe, who has so many children she doesn't know what to do.
Right.
And it's just like all these like little Muppet kids, you know, yelling, falling out of the shoe windows, you know, and Kermit's like, well, you know, what are you going to do? And, you know, she's so just harried and trying to take care of all her little Muppet kids. And I remember thinking, even like as like a 5-year-old, like, that's very clever. Because the nursery rhyme doesn't really get into, you know, what she's going through day in and day
every
out.
Day, yeah.
Right.
She didn't know
and Kermit was like,
live in a shoe.
No one wants that many kids in a shoe.
I mean,
it's really bad for her.
And she would like to move, but, you know, it's housing costs, right?
Right. You know, you're single parent.
But the maintenance on that shoe can't be cheap either.
Well, exactly. I mean, it depends. If it's like a loafer or
something. Repair the sole?
Upgrade to a boot, something with a little more realist space.
Right. Well, it was always depicted as a boot, even in that skit.
Yeah.
even though
I mean, what's bigger than a boot?
Described as a shoe.
A waiter?
Yeah, waiters would be a good one. Thigh boots.
Thigh boots. Seems kind of awkward boots, for but, children's.
Yeah. Yeah. When does it stop being a shoe and just start being a onesie? How? What's the dividing line there?
Between a onesie and a shoe?
Yeah, like, you know, at some point,
well, I mean, a you're lot. Thinking like, of a
boots
onesie,
can go all the way up to your thigh onesie. And still be considered boots.
Oh, but I'm like, thinking of a onesie, like a waist, pajama onesie.
Yeah.
That includes feet.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know. Like, take the thigh length boots.
Oh, like a body shoe.
Now bring them up above your waist. Suddenly they're not boots anymore. That's starting to be a onesie.
They're chaps with detached shoes. Chappy shoes.
Yeah.
Listen, yeah, what she should do is move out of the freaking shoe into an actual building with, you know, plumbing.
This is what Tony Shea is doing. Don't you see? He's going to do onesie shoes. It's so obvious. We just had to kind of work.
I guarantee he's going to do something, nothing associated with shoes, footwear, or feet.
It's shoes, but also with belts. You just bring them on up and you...
Yeah, no. He's going to go to the opposite side of the body. He's going to sell hats.
It's called the shoot. S-H-U-I-T.
And
it's what? It's a suit that is also...
Oh, suit. Shoes. Got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very good. Yeah. maybe it could also be like if you had to get down like a... fireman slide really quick, it could work also as a chute.
Mayor Watt says this whole discussion is a crock. Ha!
Oh, you know, that's her problem. She lived in a single shoe. She needed a duplex. She needed the other shoe.
Yeah, maybe
she needed the other shoe.
Yeah.
She got dealt a bad hand. It's a funny skit, though. I recommend everybody look it up.
Yeah, that's a classic. I'd forgotten all about that one.
Mm-hmm. I think there was a whole, you know, it was nursery rhyme people that Kermit would, you know, go and be series. Like, how is it really though for you?
Oh yeah. Cause didn't he interview the spider that sat down and next
beside
to
her?
The Little Miss Muffet. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Actually.
And they're all just like Dumpty normal was people. Another one. It's like, well, it's just, you know, I just wanted to sit down and say, hi.
Well, yesterday I experimented with thanking the Twitch subscribers on the Twitch stream only. And of the 8 people who responded to that, it was universal that they would prefer very nicely. Thank you for being very polite. They would prefer I thank people in GDI. So we'll stick with that. Durham Bell, 5 months with Prime. Thank you. And all your emojis for subscribing. Tizzy Ting, 5 months with Prime. The Wunderbar. From me to you, some of Jeff's money. Thank you, the Wunderbar. 6 months with Prime. Beatmaster 80 gave us some bits. OMR Gadget, longtime Patreon listener at 2.3 times. Happy to subscribe when I remember. Thank you, oh, Mr. Gadget. Capalicious, Triskaidekaphobezos Bucks. Is that the fear of Bezos Bucks? Anyway, 13 months with Prime. And Zoe Brings Bacon, 4 bits. Thank you. Oh, it's because it's 13 months with Prime. That's why the Triskaidekaphobezos Bucks. I get it. I get it. Thank you all for supporting us on Twitch or on Patreon. Patreon.com/DTNS, of course, is a great way to support us. And that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for being here, being with us. And like Patrick and everyone else, we hope you have a good day.
Have a good day.
Good day, Internet.
Oh. Ray says good day.